Thursday morning, your faux Friday Thursday morning here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. Busy rest of the show coming up, including your chance to win $1,000 just before 8 o'clock. Our TSN 1200 $1,000 minute. And then after 8, TSN Hockey Insider Dave Poulin. Fresh, hopefully, after a long day on the TSN free agent frenzy desk yesterday, will join us with his thoughts on a crazy day, including the moves the Ottawa Senators make. Dave joins us after 8 o'clock, and we'll continue to, of course, talk about all the hockey stuff, keep you up to date on the Olympics as well. It's now 8:12 in the evening over in Tokyo. Day 6 is starting to wrap up. We'll keep you up to date on anything that transpires as far as Canadians at the Olympics go, but we have won, as you just heard, one more medal in women's pairs rowing. So we're up to 10 medals now, 2 gold, 3 silver, and 5 bronze. We also had some good results as far as wins. Women's rugby sevens got their win in their first game. The women's basketball team also won yesterday, so they're now 1-1. And the men's golf tournament is underway. Corey Connors and Mackenzie Hughes both 2-under 6 off the lead. So up to date on the Olympics throughout the morning as well. But in the meantime, always happy to be joined by our friend Michaela Schreider, who sits in for Simmer this morning. How you doing, Michaela?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
Excellent, thanks. You've been up since 4 a.m. watching Olympics. What's grabbed you this morning?
Today was a sleep-in day. I slept until 5.
Wow, okay. All right. So nothing. There's nothing on the overnight Olympic calendar that needed you to get up and needed your attention?
Well, my priority was women's basketball, and that took place at 9 p.m. last night, so I was up a little later than normal, so I figured I will balance sleep and watching the Olympics and let myself sleep in a little bit. So I got up early enough to catch up on what happened while I was sleeping, but I had to watch the Canada versus the Republic of Korea last night. I'm glad I did, because they won. So it's a trade-off. You gotta balance sleep and functionality with, you know, the events you want to watch.
The Canadian television ratings came out yesterday for the first few days of the Olympics, and they are actually really good. And I'm not sure what the expectations were. These Olympics obviously were supposed to be last year, and got postponed a year, and there was a lot of negativity around, you know, Japan, like the people of Japan are like, we don't even want the Olympics. And so the whole aura around the games, let alone we're in a pandemic world and everything, kind of led to there's a bit of a cloud over the games. But as the games have, we're now into day 6, Canadians at least to be enjoying, seem to be enjoying their time on their couch watching the Olympics, as the ratings have actually been very good so far.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, and I was a little bit like this too, where, you know, there's part of you that says, okay, if the people who live there don't want this happening, if there is a state of emergency in the city, should we be having the Olympics? But then once they start, you get sucked into it. And I'm sure there are people who would normally watch who aren't, and you know, that's fine. But I know that as we got closer and closer, I started getting more and more excited, despite the fact that I felt a little conflicted about this even happening. And after everything we've been through in the last year and a half, like to be able to have the Olympics to watch and storylines to follow and athletes to support, like, it's a very welcome distraction for a lot of people. And it's hard to turn away. You can say you don't like it all you want, but then as things start, it's hard to turn away from.
Yeah. And it's kind of dovetailed perfectly into the end of the sports calendar that we followed throughout the spring and early summer, which was all delayed, but you know, the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, all of it kind of came to an end. And this is and we didn't have any CFL football, and it'll kick off next week. But normally this would be a relatively quiet time, but we had the NHL offseason stuff. But in terms of just actual competitions and games going on, this has been a nice little thing to take us from the end of hockey and basketball playoffs to, you know, football, CFL starting next month, NFL starting in September, and of course baseball continues. But this has been a nice kind of a bridge, I guess, between all the sports seasons.
Absolutely. The Summer Olympics are always really good for that. I remember in Rio in particular, it was overall a pretty uneventful summer, and we had the Olympics to keep us busy. But we don't really get that normal break this year. Like you said, everything was delayed. You know, we just had NHL free agency yesterday, which feels very weird. And I was thinking to myself, okay, August is going to be a little bit more of a quiet period, but you know, once the Olympics wrap up, you've got the CFL getting underway, but the Women's World Hockey Championships happening near the end of August. And obviously baseball's happening. And the next thing you know, it's NFL training camp. Like this is, we don't get this normal break, which I'm not complaining about as someone who is on the air occasionally. It is easier to fill airspace when there's more events. But I realized yesterday, we don't get that break at all this year, really.
Yeah. That's as a guy you said who needs to fill airtime, believe me, no issues there. No issues there whatsoever. Last night I was watching the women's rowing team, for instance, the Paris rowing team. Filmer and Janssens row to a bronze medal. So that was awesome. All of the rowing competitions, and listen, I'm watching it on my couch, not exercising nearly enough as we should be. And I'm watching these people row to the point of exhaustion. And I'm thinking to myself, and they're rowing backwards, right? So really the only thing you're doing is maybe at best looking over at your competition as they're pulling away. There would be nothing that makes me more bitter than watching the people in those power boats. As soon as everybody, the six, you know, boats, you know, the teams in the competition are starting to roll away, you get these power boats that kind of pull in right behind and are kind of trailing. So you got a guy in a motorboat following you while you're rowing with your arms and your legs to the point of exhaustion. Like, No, it's not fair. Like, I'm just thinking how bitter I would be about that if that was happening. Like, you know,
yeah,
can you put a motor on the end of my skull here, please, so I can pull away?
Yeah, timing is obviously not ideal there. Maybe they're hoping to motivate them through bitterness. Who knows?
Look how fast, you know, and somebody pointed this out on Twitter last night, and somebody pointed out, it's like when you're watching the Tour de France, and, you know, you get all the guys in the peloton, and they're biking up and down these huge mountains, and the fans are cheering them on. And meanwhile, you've got guys in cars with cameras on, you know, they're providing the television coverage. They're kind of weaving in and out, and they're passing guys, and you're kind of going, hey, mind if I just hang on the end of your pickup truck here and just pull me along for while I'm going up the side of this incredible mountain in France? So anyway, that was just my takeaway from all that. So we'll talk some Olympics throughout the morning, but to Canada again on the medal podium, another woman, our women's team, I guess, this time. So it's, if you're keeping score, women 10, men nothing. And I don't even get to, Mikhail, I'm not even going to, is this going to be a big part if she's got game on Friday? Are you guys going to be... going scoreboard on the gender inequity as far as the medal podium goes for Canada?
I mean, I think it's definitely going to come up. I don't think we can't not mention it at this point. More so in the context of, you know, look what happens when women are given resources like they are in the Olympics, and look how successful our female athletes are. So it's more of a celebration, not a competition. And I know that Canada has a chance to get bronze in men's judo, I think, today. So maybe that will change. Who knows?
Yeah, I think it just happened. I think they lost.
He lost.
There you go.
And we,
that's why I don't talk
on this show. We don't celebrate fourth place finishes. Okay, we only talk about the medals. So.
If you ain't third, you're last.
No, exactly. I think there's a Seinfeld to get there, or close to it. All right, let's get to the big news of the day, which, of course, here in Ottawa revolves around, I think, a little, I'll put them in reverse of how people are reacting to them. Delzato free agent signing, third. Dadonov trade, second. DJ Smith contract extension is first on the list. So DJ Smith was announced actually in the middle of free agency frenzy, gets a 2-year extension with the Sens. He's got still a year left on his deal, so he's essentially tied to the team for three more seasons through the 2023-2024 season. What do you think of the decision to bring back the coach for another couple of years?
I definitely think it's a good one. You know, DJ Smith has shown that he knows how to work with younger players. He's clearly got the buy-in from this group. He seems to get along well with them. He's bought into the send sicko mentality in the media and appease the fans. And you know, he's a coach who's very well known for working well with young players. So I think it makes sense given where the Sens are in this rebuild. And, you know, despite the fact that they didn't make the playoffs last year, I think by and large, they did their job of moving forward in their development of these players and keeping fans entertained. Like outside of actual rankings, it was a successful season for the Sens, and one thing you don't want in the next season where you're actually expected to potentially fight for a playoff spot is a looming contract hanging over your coach, right? It creates uncertainty and it creates chaos. And now the Sens have certainty and stability behind the bench. That's one less thing they have to worry about. It's one less thing DJ Smith has to worry about. And that trickles down to the players, and they can just focus on, you know, he can focus on doing his job and they can focus on moving forward. So overall, I thought it was a great move.
So his first year with the Sens, of course, the team was in the middle of blowing everything up, and the first season was, well, it ended due to the pandemic, but it was not very good. Last year started terribly, and we're thinking, oh, this is, how can it get any uglier? After 15 games, they had 2 wins. Well, then the ship started to turn around. It was like the boat that was stuck in the Suez Canal, right? That was the Sens. Eventually, it was freed, and they got the boat out. In terms of how the Sens did, eventually they turned the season around and you know, ended up winning 10 of their last 14 games. As he said, there was no pressure at the end of last year, though. There will be pressure and expectation to begin this year, this coming season. Here's DJ Smith, new contract in hand on that.
You know, when you're out of it, there's not a ton of pressure. Now, the pressure will be on to start the year, and I think that's part of being a hockey player is as you get better, the best players deal with pressure the best. And our players went through, you know, the worst stretch, hopefully the worst stretch they ever have to deal with at the start of the year, me included. That's only going to make you tougher. And certainly we want to hit the ground running. But, I mean, if you look at our side, everyone's capable of winning every night. There's not a team you can play that you think, oh, that's a win. And it's whoever's team's more prepared, more ready to do the little things every single night that's going to give you a chance to win. And I think going through what we went through last year, I don't think there's a guy in that room that won't be ready when this puck drops this year.
There is DJ Smith. By the way, you can hear his entire media availability from yesterday on our website at tsn1200.ca. So we spent some time in the first hour, Michaela, talking about the fact that DJ Smith got a contract extension and Pierre Dorion did not. And they were both, before yesterday, in the same boat. Two guys going into their final year of their contract. The coach gets the extension and some very high praise from the owner in terms of the press release that was sent out. The general manager is asked in his media availability yesterday, Pierre Dorion, kind of, where are you at with your contract? And he revealed, and I don't know that this had was publicly known, I certainly did not know it, that there is actually a team option for him for the year after this coming one, which means it's at Eugene Melnyk's behest as to whether he actually uses that team option or not. So essentially, Pierre Dorion, in terms of a control of his own fate, he's in the last year of his contract. So are you surprised that both of them weren't extended? And B, what do you think the message sends that the coach is extended and the general manager is not?
I don't know that I was surprised. I think it's a big vote of confidence to re-sign both at once. And like I said, DJ Smith has shown that he's able to work with these players and they did take a step forward. You're right. There was no pressure, but I think there was a case to be made that he earned that. And now the general manager needs to do what he needs to do to allow DJ Smith the confidence and the tools to do his job going into the season. I don't know that Pierre Dorion is in that position. I think that perhaps there's still more that Eugene Melnyk needs to see from him in terms of the moves that are made in the offseason to set up this team for success in the regular season. So, perhaps it's that his job is not done and therefore, you know, you can't reward that quite yet. Maybe it's also a bit of a pressure tactic as well, right? Like, you need to set up this team for success this season. We need to see how they do. This is a year where there are expectations and at the very least a playoff spot or fighting for a playoff spot is that. And I think it's a little premature to re-sign a general manager who hasn't gotten there yet. So I think this might be more of sending a message of you still have work to do. And we need to see results before we'll commit to anything going forward.
So I guess my question would be, what could or should Pierre Dorion do in the off season? Because really, once the season begins and the team that he has put together, it's kind of a little bit out of his hands. I guess, you know, you can make trades and do things. But in terms of putting the team together, most of that work, the heavy lifting, is done in the off season. So what can he, like, is what, signing Brady Tkachuk to a contract extension? Is that it? And really, at the end of the day, doesn't the owner really, He's the guy that kind of he's the guy that gives the checkbook to the general manager. He's the guy because listen, if you offer Brady Tkachuk enough money, he's going to sign. Right? There's you know, if it's a blank check, he's going to sign for sure. Otherwise, it's a negotiation, and whether it's short, you know, whether it's a 3-year deal or an 8-year deal, it's still going to be a lot of money. So I guess my question is, what can Pierre Dorion do in this offseason to prove anything more? He blew up the team. He and the owner agreed they're going to blow up the team. Now coming up to what will be 4 years ago in February, they blew the thing to smithereens, right? And it's been long and hard for everybody watching this rebuild take place. But the foundation is now there. The house is starting to go up. It seemingly is in decent shape. We'll find out if they can put the finishing touches on it. And that's part of what he's, you know, what he's responsible for. But, you know, for me, and there have been some missteps, there's been some big mistakes by Pierre Dorion, but every general manager makes them. He's been able to also do some pretty good things. I think on the whole, in totality, if the coach is getting an extension, I think the general manager should have got one as well, in my opinion.
Yeah, and in terms of what he needs to do, I think moving the Evgeny Dadonov contract was probably a big item on that checklist, right? It's getting out from a mistake that he made because it was a contract he signed last offseason that, you know, 3 years, $15 million, you're betting that this player is going to perform, and he didn't. But moving that contract, clearing most of that cap space and only taking 1.7 back for 1 year in Nick Holden, I think that's kind of step number one. Again, it's a little difficult to praise Pierre Dorion for it because you're fixing a mistake that you made, right? There's also the Matt Murray contract. What do you do about that? They exposed him in the expansion draft. Do they keep him? Do they hope that he turns things around? I think how that plays out is also going to probably indicate whether or not we see a Pierre Dorion extension. But I think that right now it seems to be about fixing the mistakes that he made, which again, it's kind of hard to give him credit for because it's like taking an eraser to your own moves. Right. So I'm assuming there's just more that ownership needs to see in righting this ship a little bit and clearing some cap space. You're right. Brady Tkachuk is a big part of that, but at the end of the day, that's not necessarily down to Pierre Dorion. It's really about getting clearance for the money to spend. So I guess all that is to say, like, I feel like there's more that Pierre Dorion needs to do. He's already taken steps in the right direction, but again, he's got to fix some mistakes that he made.
So what I would always be fearful of, and it doesn't matter the sport when we're talking about team sports, is I don't like the guy who is the architect of my house rebuild. With a finite deadline of getting things done, which maybe aren't realistic as far as timelines go. And in the case of a sports team, and in the case of the Ottawa Senators, you got a guy going into the final year of his contract, and the pressure, you know, and he knows for him to get an extension, the team is going to have to do some of the things that you talked about. There can be the thought of, well, let me press fast forward on this carefully thought out, you know, very long rebuild plan. Why don't I try to accelerate things a little bit so I look good in the eyes of the owner and I get myself an extension? Like it's a natural human reaction of self-preservation, right? Pierre Dorion has said many times, this is my dream job, to be the general manager of the Ottawa Senators. If you're doing something that you love and it has been your lifelong dream to do that job and you have that job, and then the job is, the future of you in that job is tenuous, you're going to do everything you can to try to hold on to that job, even if it means that you do some things which could cost, you know, in this case, the organization down the road because you're in self-preservation mode. That is the concern. And I'm not saying that he would do that. I don't think he's a bad guy. That's a natural human reaction to preserve yourself in the face of stress and adversity. This is the issue for me of allowing a general manager in any sport to go into the final year of his contract.
That's a really good point. And as the owner, it's Eugene Melnyk's job to set Pierre Dorion up to be in a position to do his best work, right? And if you're not showing confidence in your general manager and giving him some security and some stability, are you really setting him up to do his best work, to do his job well? You're right. When the pressure's on, we make mistakes as human beings. That's what we do. And is a general manager with pressure on him going to make decisions that are best for the long-term health of this organization? Who knows? That is a really, really good point. And I would be concerned about that for sure, especially when you're at this point in the rebuild. This is a pivotal point. If you make one or two wrong moves, you could completely dismantle everything that this team has done in tearing things down and rebuilding it from scratch. So I would think that as an owner, you want to put your general manager in a position to do his best work, and being up against his contract is not that.
And here's the thing, and I don't know the exact contract status of Jim Benning in Vancouver, but he's been doing that job, I think, since 2014. And, you know, the fans of the Canucks are fed up with this guy, right? And they're fed up with him. And I would think that right now ownership is very much up in the air as to whether they want him to continue as general manager. Well, he knows that. And he knows to continue, in the current position, he's going to need results this year. So if you look at that trade that Vancouver made with Arizona, where they moved out a bunch, and they have some contract issues. So what they do, they moved out three guys who aren't contributing at all, but are in the final year of their contract. And they bring in Oliver Ekman-Larsson, who's got six more years left in his contract at over $7 million money, $8 million on the cap, because he's got to free up money for this year because he needs to have results for this year. Like, that is a self-preservation move made by a general manager who knows he could get fired. And again, I'm not saying that would necessarily be the case here in Ottawa, but that's what human beings do in the face of adversity. So that's just my concern. And the other part of it is, for me, I don't have the list of salaries of general managers around the NHL, but we can pretty much guess that Pierre Dorion is a first-time general manager on a small market team, is probably one of the lowest-paid general managers in the league. We can make that assumption fairly safely. And based on what the team has done and not done under his guidance right now, it's not like you got to make him the highest-paid general manager. Like, he would be, I'm sure, as he said, his dream job. If you offered him a slight bump in salary or a little bit of a bump, he'd be more than happy to take that, to have the security and be able to see this thing through. So just in terms of your commitment, if it's a financial thing, if you're Eugene Melnyk and I don't want to give that guy two more years and have, you know, three more years. If it doesn't work and I have to fire him, like, really, when you think about having to let go a coach or a GM on the salaries they are in Ottawa compared to one bad player contract, it's probably, what, a third of the cost? Like Dadonov. Dadonov is $5 million U.S. mistake that they were able to erase, right? The coach and GM of the Ottawa Senators don't make anywhere close to that kind of money. So in other words, your financial, you're on the hook financially for a lot less if you realize you've come to the realization you have made a mistake with your coach or your GM and you have to get rid of them sooner rather than later. So if it's just up to finances.
Yeah. And the other thing too is, you know, how many coaches does a GM get, right? You generally see each GM gets, let's say, two or three coaching changes they get to go through. And at that point, if things still aren't working, guess who's on the chopping block next? Tends to be the GM. Already we've seen Pierre Dorion make, what, two coaching changes? He went from Dave Cameron to Guy Boucher to...
Well, he came into the job and you know, Dave Cameron was really Brian Murray's guy. So he has hired two coaches. He's hired Guy Boucher and he hired DJ Smith. So he's on his second coach.
So I don't think we're at the point yet where the GM is the next natural, you know, sacrificial lamb, so to speak, right? Like at this point, if the season does not play out the way you want it to, I don't think it's enough to say that, okay, that it's the GM's fault. We have to make a change. I don't think we're there yet at this point in the Sens rebuild. So I think it's more about this off season than it is about the season to come. Cause you're right. Once the season starts, like aside from trades here and there and what they do at the deadline, it's what you do in the off season that makes or breaks a GM. So I'm assuming, and this is just me guessing, I think they just want to see how this off season plays out. They had a good start. The first day of free agency, I think by and large, out of the three moves that the Sens made, two of them were really good. You know, re-signing DJ Smith and moving the Evgeny Dadonov trade. contract. The Michael Delzato signing, I think, is very confusing, and we'll have to see how that plays out. I think there's more moves to be made on the blue line, to be honest with you. But I think this conversation would be, you know, what would this conversation look like at the end of the offseason, I guess is my question. And if we're starting training camp and the season and we still don't, there's still no contract extension for Pierre Dorion, then I think this becomes a little bit of a concern.
All right. Our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question for you is this one. Should Pierre Dorion have received an extension at the same time as DJ Smith? In other words, should he have gotten one yesterday with DJ Smith? A simple yay or nay on that one. Let us know what you think at TSN1200.ca. You can go to our web poll question and vote on that. Let's quickly go around. So are you a yay or a nay on should Dorion have gotten an extension yesterday, Michaela?
For a confidence standpoint, and like I said, letting your GM do his best work in a position where the pressure is not forcing his hands, yes, I think he should have. I think that would have put your GM in the best position to do his best work.
Hammer.
I agree with Michaela. I think he should have received an extension as well, because he deserves an extension for what he's done. And like you said, all GMs make mistakes. He's made those mistakes. He's corrected some of those mistakes. So he deserves an extension.
Well, I guess I'll make it a 3-for-3. Sounds like we're all going to get an invite to Pierre Dorion's place for dinner.
Does he have
a
pool?
I'm not sure. But I too agree that I think, again, for many of the reasons which I went through, I think he should have received an extension as well. And it doesn't mean it can't happen. I'm just surprised that the two of them are tied at the hip as far as this rebuild goes, that one got an extension yesterday and some very favorable comments from the owner, and the other did not. We'll see how it all plays itself out. And in the meantime, we would like your thoughts on our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question. Should Pierre Dorion have received an extension yesterday with DJ Smith? Yay or nay? All right, we'll put the question to Dave Poulin, our TSN Hockey Insider, when he joins us after 8 o'clock this morning. When we come back, we'll get into the news from yesterday from the Sens, which was a trade and a free agent signing. And what's it all mean, specifically on the Sens defense, which suddenly becomes crowded? And there's some interesting questions as we head toward the next season. And then we'll talk about some of the bigger moves around the league on the whole as well. Some big money handed out yesterday. 128 players are sharing in $576 million this morning. Flat cap? What flat cap? You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.
Is TSN 1200.
Welcome back, 744. Michaela Schreider sitting in for Simmer this morning. Dave Poulin coming up after 8, just before 8 o'clock, our TSN 1200 $1,000 minute. If you think back to your days in elementary school, I remember when you'd open your pencil case. That was the one thing you could never find, is the eraser. They always disappeared, right? And you'd be looking in your desk or underneath your desk, you could never find your eraser. Well, Pierre Dorion found his eraser yesterday in terms of Evgeny Dadonov, because the guy he signed to a 3-year contract for $15 million in the last offseason has now been erased from the Ottawa Senators, traded yesterday to the Vegas Golden Knights in exchange for Nick Holden, a defenseman going into the final year of his contract. And he is more of a depth guy than anything else, but potentially a guy you could flip out at the trade deadline, might have a little bit of value. They also get a third-round pick, but I think most importantly, they are out from under the final 2 years of Dadonov's contract, which in terms of the cash paid out would be $11.5 million, and Holden only makes about $1.5 million, so it's about a $10 million swing there in favor of the Ottawa Senators. So, Michaela Schreider, any issues whatsoever with that trade yesterday with Vegas?
None whatsoever. Regardless of where Nick Holden fits in this lineup, this move was about clearing away a contract that didn't work out for the Sens. And, you know, we talked about this being Pierre Dorion fixing a mistake he made. And I have to give him credit, because it's very rare that GMs make moves that openly admit they made a mistake. Right? Like there's one thing that GMs in all sports are, and that is proud. And it is very rare that we see GMs make moves that very much highlight the fact that the initial move was a mistake in the first place. And I have to give credit to Pierre Dorion for fixing that and fixing it so quickly, rather than hang on and insist that he's going to be right and it's going to turn around eventually. No, he took the eraser to it right away and cleared most of that cap space, brought back Nick Holden and his very easy to handle 1 year, $1.7 million cap hit. I thought this was great. Again, regardless of what happens with Nick Holden, is he shipped out before the trade deadline? Does he have a big role on this team? Who knows? I think what the value of this move was the cap space that it clears and the roster spot it clears. You know, we saw Evgeny Dadonov eat up a lot of minutes last year, taking away a roster spot from a younger player. Now we don't have that quite as much. There's some room on the right wing for a young player to step in. And I think this move all around was a good one.
Yeah. And I don't know Nick Holden that well. I just kind of went through his hockey DB, but I couldn't give you a debrief on the positives and negatives of Nick Holden, other than he's a big guy. He is 34 years old. He's in the final year of his contract. And I kind of look at all that and I go, I wonder if he's Braden Coburn. I wonder if he's this year's Braden Coburn, who ended up getting flipped out at the trade deadline. But a guy that was kind of in and out of the lineup. And again, the big part for Ottawa is getting out from underneath the contract. The other piece of news yesterday for the Sens was a free agent signing on the list of starting at Dougie Hamilton and $63 million. Michael Delzato signing with the Sens for $4 million is certainly far down the list in terms of what's on the radar screen of most people who follow the league at large. That being said, that was the one player that is coming in free agency-wise. Mike Delzato thought last summer he might not even have a future in the NHL. He ends up landing in Columbus, has a decent year by all accounts with the Blue Jackets. This year he went from having zero interest in the offseason to having five teams apparently who were pitching him yesterday to join them in free agency. He chose the Sens and explains why.
The number one was the direction of the team. My role there, looking at, you know, a younger team and not a ton of veteran presence. And, you know, me being, I'm not sure I'm the oldest guy, but definitely the most games played, and being on numerous teams, numerous situations, on winning teams, rebuilding teams, you know, you put yourself in so many situations where you gain this experience. And I think that's valuable, especially with a younger team. So as I mentioned before, I'm excited to bring my experience there and help that team continue to trend in the right direction.
He also talked about just in watching the Sens, and not that Columbus played Ottawa last year, but said he liked the way the team plays under DJ Smith, said, you know, there's a skill element to it, but they also play, to use his words, with a lot of jam as well. Looking forward to bringing his veteran presence to the blue line and being a mentor for some of the younger defensemen as well. But with Nick Holden now being part of the equation and Michael Delzato coming in, this is how the Senator blue line shapes up right now. You've got, of course, Thomas Chabot. You've got Nikita Zaitsev. You've got Eric Brandstrom. You've got Artem Zub. You've got Josh Brown. So those are five players that are signed. You add the two guys we just talked about, and you've got Victor Mete right now is a restricted free agent. Remember, Michaela, when the season ended and Pierre Dorion said intimated that a Victor Mete contract extension was kind of just a matter of it's not if, but when it was going to happen fairly shortly. It still hasn't happened. I'm just kind of looking at all these moves, and it still could happen. It might happen as soon as today, for all I know. But I just wonder how all these puzzle pieces are going to fit together and what it might mean for Victor Mete in terms of his future with the Ottawa Senators.
That's just it, especially on the left side of the defensive core. You know, you've got Thomas Chabot, Eric Brandstrom, Victor Mete, Nick Holden, and now Michael Delzato. And we know that DJ Smith doesn't tend to play players on their offside on the blue line. So, you know, logic says someone's got to be moved out before the start of the season. And I highly doubt it's going to be Nick Holden or Michael Delzato, given how they just got here. So the natural, you know, fit for someone to just easily be plucked out of that is Victor Mete. But you're right, coming out of the season, a lot of us thought that he was going to be on the Sens next season. And, you know, Pierre Dorion alluded to that. We saw him play very well with this team in after he got here, essentially, from Montreal. So it's a bit of a surprise. Again, I mentioned this earlier, but I think there's going to be more moves between now and the start of the season on the blue line specifically. I know Pierre Dorion said the focus is on the forward core and a second line center. But I think there has to be another move of some sort that's expected on the blue line, because right now it's overcrowded. And my other question, you know, there's Victor Mete who is kind of the natural fit to be the one ousted there. But we know that Eric Brandstrom did not live up to expectations for the organization this season. Is this to put pressure on him? Is this to give him a mentor and some leadership? That's another question I have around this, this, you know, surge of players now on the blue line.
Yeah. And yeah, you know, like Pierre Dorion said yesterday, you can never have too many defensemen. Like it in total, those names I mentioned, that's eight guys. And, you know, as an NHL season unfolds, especially an 82 game season, you're going to have injuries. There's no doubt about that. And so you're going to need to have depth. And that is such a hard position, right? If a guy's not ready to play in the National Hockey League, a younger defenseman, you know, that is the first place that you're going to get exposed. So you want to have yourself covered depth wise. But the eight names that I mentioned, all of those guys, I want to say, I guess Brandstrom is the only guy that wouldn't need waivers at the end of a training camp, right? So, and I'm presuming that Brandstrom, they would consider Brandstrom to be a full-time NHL player. Like, I would be shocked if, you know, training camp plays itself out and Eric Brandstrom is, let's say, just average, right? He's just kind of a guy that they turn around and send him back to Belleville again. Because I don't know, that guy's confidence will be shot at that point, right? So for the sake of argument, let's say that all eight of those guys are going to need to be a part of the Ottawa Senators if there's no injuries at the end of training camp. Like, you're going to have two defensemen sitting in the press box for, you know, for until you get some injuries or until you decide to make a decision. That's one of the things. And again, we're getting way ahead of ourselves. It could be exactly what you said. This could be a precursor to another move where we see one of these defensemen get moved out. I think one of the things, and I don't remember if it was Dorion or DJ Smith yesterday, was asked, actually it was DJ, was asked, what have you learned based on what you watched in the playoffs this year? And one of the things he talked about, and we've all talked about, and it's played itself out, not just this past year, but in the past several years, size on defense. There is no way around it, right? Montreal goes from not doing anything, either not making the playoffs or not getting the playoffs, and all of a sudden they're in the final. What's a big reason everybody circles? The big four trees they've got in the back end, right? Tampa, you know, what do? They, you know, they have a good defense, but they add a couple of, you know, nasty, bigger guys back on defense to round it out. The 2 years before Tampa won, St. Louis, huge guys on defense. Before that, Washington, big guys on defense. So again, the million-dollar question here in Ottawa, are the Ottawa Senators, if and when they ever get to this point where they're contending for a playoff position, can you have 2 5-foot-9 guys as part of your six-man rotation in Eric Brandstrom and Victor Mete? History would tell you, and the words of the coach would tell you, no.
No, you definitely, they at least can't be the ones you rely on, right? If you have them on your blue line, you have to have the taller guys to compensate. And that's the pattern we've seen in the NHL. And, you know, I think the other factor here is, and we'll know more about this as the season plays out, but, you know, where is Jake Sanderson in his development, and do they see him coming up for some NHL time at some point? And then does this depth at defense give them some flexibility of maybe making a move to bring in something of value at the trade deadline? If you've got some free space on the blue line, you know, if Jake Sanderson does slot into the lineup, and that's a big if. I realize it's still very early in his development. There's also Lassie Thompson. Where is he in his development? So I think there's some spots on the blue line that I have to think are earmarked for some of their prospects like Sanderson and Thompson. And do these moves give them some flexibility to have pieces to move out to make space? And again, it's a depth thing, right? You can move out, let's say, a Nick Holden at the trade deadline because you have a prospect who's going to naturally slot into that role and it compensates while you're also bringing in something of value to potentially help you in the playoffs. So I think what this screams to me is flexibility on the blue line, and we'll have to see how the season plays out to know what they do with that.
All right. Before we go to break and our $1,000 minute, was there anything in what transpired yesterday in the NHL at large that you found fascinating, being somebody got a humongous contract, you know, all the goalies that were on the move, somebody signing somewhere? Was there one thing that jumped out at you?
there was nothing that jumped out at me as like super surprising. Like, we knew Dougie Hamilton was likely going to New Jersey. I think that contract makes sense. I was surprised, and I guess it made sense when Philip Grubauer was no longer with Colorado. I was surprised Landeskog stayed in Colorado because the writing was on the wall for him to go elsewhere. But obviously, once Grubauer was out, they had some space to sign him. I think the thing that stood out for me, and again, it wasn't a big surprise because it was kind of rumored to happen, but the Peter Mrazek signing in Toronto, I actually thought that was a really good move, right? Like, they're waiting to see what's going to happen with Jack Campbell. Can he be a starter? Mrazek is used to sharing the goaltending position. You know, he did that in Carolina with Nedeljkovic, excuse me. And he's a stable goalie. He's helped Carolina to some success. We're familiar with him here in Ottawa. He was a 67 in his time with the OHL. And I thought that was a really smart move by the Toronto Maple Leafs to, you know, let them, they now have some insurance and they can see what they have in Jack Campbell as a starter. And if it doesn't work out or it's a slow start, then they've got Peter Mrazek to fall back on. So I really liked that move.
I found the entire goalie carousel thing yesterday to be fascinating. You know, it would take you 10 or 15 minutes to kind of figure out who went where and, you know, what it all means, right? Right. Carolina, essentially, it was Mrazek in and Freddie Anderson ends up going back to Carolina. So it's kind of like they're almost traded for each other, right? And who we won't know until the seasons play themselves out who has made the right decision here. And I realize that one is making more money than the other, but that's interesting to me. Buffalo had no goalies after Linus Olmark signed in Boston yesterday for a while. And then last night, lo and behold, Craig Anderson is now a member of the Buffalo Sabres. If you didn't see that last night, he signed a minimum salary. He said he wanted to come back and play again. Now Craig Anderson at, what is he, 39, about to turn 40? Didn't play a whole lot of hockey last year. He appeared to be on his last legs when he was in Ottawa, let alone last year. And now he's going to go into a shooting gallery in Buffalo? Like, Godspeed to you, Craig. Like, if that's worth $750,000 for you, good on you, man. But man, that could get ugly. That's not a very good team, and that's not very good goaltending.
Like, if you're going to come back for your swan song of your NHL career, and you just came from Washington,
yeah.
I don't think Buffalo, both as a city, no offense, Buffalo, and as a team, is exactly what Craig Anderson had in mind. But again, he signed this, so maybe he's looking for a challenge. Who knows? This is going to be interesting.
Yeah, he's got a job, and this doesn't preclude if he somehow he ends up having a decent year on what should be a terrible team. He could get flipped out at the trade deadline to a Stanley Cup contender and maybe in a roundabout way ends up by somehow getting himself a Stanley Cup ring. We'll see.
Here in Ottawa, we're very familiar with the fact that Craig Anderson is at his best when he's being peppered. So
yeah, that's true. Good point.
He's going to the right bright spot if he's hoping to get some volume of shots.
All right, 7:58. If you'd like to play our TSN $1,200,000 minute, text us right now at 12-1200. Standard messaging rates apply. We'll take lucky texter number 72 for Thomas Chabot. All right, lucky texter 72. We'll play the game coming up next right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.
This all the time, but I've kind of been in and out today, so I'm a little nervous.
Okay, don't be nervous. You're amongst friends. We want you to win the money, okay? So that's the most important thing. All right, so Jeff, here's the way the contest works. I've got 10 questions. You got 60 seconds. You go 10 for 10. We're going to put a nice grand in your pocket for the long weekend. Sound good?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. I like that. Okay, if you don't get 10, we'll give you $10 per correct answer. The rules are simple. I need all of your answers by the time the 60-second buzzer goes. I need to accept your first full, complete answer. And if you want to, you can pass on a question. If we have time, we will go back to that question. Okay?
Okay.
All right, Jeff, wish you the best of luck. We're going to start in 3, 2, 1, go. True or false, Sens coach DJ Smith actually played in the NHL?
True.
Who is the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys?
Dak Prescott.
Name the only Raptor to go first overall in the draft.
Pass.
Of the Sens' two new defensemen, who's older, Delzato or Holden?
Delzato.
Which Tampa player led the playoffs in goals?
Kucherov.
When Canada hosted its only Summer Olympics, how many gold medals did they win, 0 or 2?
2.
Besides Dougie Hamilton, who is the Devils' other $9 million a year player?
Pass.
Mike Hoffman's best goal scoring season came with what team, the Sens or the Panthers?
Sens.
Name any Sens GM other than Brian Murray or Pierre Dorion.
Pierre Gauthier.
Which country leads the Olympics right now in overall medals?
China.
Name the only Raptor to go first overall in the draft.
Oh.
Don't worry about it.
McGrady.
Yeah, well, good guess. Yeah, that's a tough one. I should have, I should have given. Anyway. Let's see how you did, Jeff.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. True or false, DJ Smith actually played in the NFL. He did. I think it was 45 games, I believe. Quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, Dak Prescott. Only Raptor to go first overall. This is kind of one of those you either know or you don't. Andrea Bargnani.
Not a big basketball guy.
There you go. Okay. Sends new two new defensemen. Who's older? It's actually Nick Holden. He's 34. Oh, Delzato is 30. Okay. The Tampa player to lead the playoffs in goals is Braden Point. When Canada hosted its only Summer Olympics, how many gold? Actually won zero in Montreal. Besides Dougie Hamilton, who's the Devils' other $9 million player? P.K. Subban is the answer there. Mike Hoffman's best goal-scoring season came with the Panthers, actually. He got 36 goals. Name a Sens GM other than Murray or Dorion. You got Pierre Gauthier, that's right. And who leads the Olympics in medals right now? It's actually the United States. They have 37, and China has 29 as we speak. What do we got for Jeff?
$30, Jeff.
All right, thanks, guys.
Okay. That's a bit of a wow. You know what? The questions were hard today. I apologize for that. Anyway, our thanks for playing the game, and have a great day. Thanks for listening.
Thank you very much.
All right, see you around. Okay. They were kind of hard, actually, in retrospect. Michaela, should I ask how you did?
Yes, you should, because I actually have something I'm proud of today. I got a clean $80 out of this one.
Nicely done.
Enough for a couple beers, I think.
There you go. Yeah, especially those craft beers that you like to drink. Yeah,
that'll get me like six.
There you go. Okay, all good. All right, just past 8 o'clock. We'll bring you the latest news, run down the scoreboard, and then we'll wrap up all the hockey stuff from a crazy day yesterday, including thoughts on what the Sens did with TSN's Dave Poulin. Our hockey insider will join us next on TSN 1200.